I knew that if I brought my blanket, that it wouldn't be cold.
So
Okay. I have that because I left that. I knew you were here because the flag was down.
Okay, it looks like everybody's here. We can start our meeting. Would anybody like to adopt the agenda?
Do we make a motion to adopt? Yeah, okay, I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda as is.
Was that Joan that seconded?
Oh, yes.
Okay, no problem.
Yep.
Any opposed? Okay. Public comments for non-agenda items.
Me.
Okay.
I received a letter from Carl Schlitz, a full-page letter, and I'd like this letter put on next month's agenda so it can be discussed. I would like all board members to have a copy of the letter so they can review it before they make comment next month. I have already read the letter. I'd also like Carl, as he wrote the letter, to tell us how much does he want to spend on lawyers? How does he want the board to accomplish his goals if adopted? So I need to know at the next meeting how much money this is going to cost, and don't tell me it costs nothing, because that's absolute baloney. And so I would like to wrap this up once and for all at the next meeting.
You're here.
It seems like we cannot accomplish anything until we get past what happened 3.5 years ago. I know the board has stated that they did not want to spend money on lawsuits. They wanted to spend money on roads. I see this pursuit of this action costing anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 to $60,000, because it will detail extended legal action. So, I will give the letter right now so that you have a copy.
I have a copy.
All right, thank you. We'll make copies.
I would like to put on the agenda.
We don't all have a copy. I know it says it's nasty, but
okay.
His assumption on the Nicholas, because I don't have.
Am I the only one to receive that letter?
No, I haven't seen one.
I did.
Did you get a letter, John? John said no. Audrey, did you get a letter from him?
No, I didn't. I gave it to Randy, and he made copies of it.
He sent the letter.
Randy said he didn't get it.
Unless it was some time back, I don't know.
It was at the first meeting when you got.
Oh, way back then. Oh, okay. So it's the same letter.
Oh, okay.
From. Okay. Whatever. Do we have any other public comments? Okay. Approved minutes from special meeting of February 2nd, 2019. Would anybody like to move to approve the minutes, or do we need them read?
I did read them before we came down, though, and I will accept them.
I'll second.
Thank you. I had them sitting out, so I read them.
Any opposed?
Wait, is that the...
Okay.
I'm so out of painted over mail, I don't know what I'm doing.
No, this is cool.
Minutes are approved. Reports of officers and directors.
I had a road report.
Pardon me?
Road report.
Okay, that would come. Actually, I didn't have the road committee on here, but that's fine, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry about that.
Can you read it for me?
Sure.
No.
I can. Okay. Road report. Track was inspected after Tuesday, the 5th storm. All culverts were conveying the excess rainwater properly with no debris obstruction. Sand Canyon Road above Horseshoe Lane at the crossing with the creek retained the asphalt paving for the time being, but will wash away at the next major storm. Due to the failure to take preventive measures to install a retaining wall, replace the pavement with concrete as designed and giving out for bids. With lack of snow, all roads drained well except Halter Drive between Morgan Lane and Mare Court, which needs to be properly regraded when the track grading is done. Again, in front of Lot 110, the water built up needs to be addressed. In front of Lot 102 and 103, a drain pipe still needs to be installed.
That's it.
Okay. Anything else from any of the officers or directors?
I am still working on the paperwork for jobs that need to be done in the canyon. I'd like to give Carl a copy, and I would like him to add on any projects that were not put on up there.
You can give one to...
We have received, I understand, some bids from Bowman Construction, and we'll still be seeking bids on other jobs that are listed on here. I hope to have this all done before the annual meeting so that we can tell everybody that if we did every job on the roads, it's going to cost $1.2 million or X amount. No,
you're right. You're right.
But in the meantime, I know the board is going to try and knock off as many jobs as they can. I believe recent plans call for us to spend money on the concrete wash and to spend money on road base on certain roads. Which roads were they, Randy?
It was various roads.
It was Hackamore.
They're on there.
I think it was round Halter, Appaloosa, Strand. Those are the roads that need the road base, and those are the roads that people use. So what we want to do is keep putting prices on everything so we have a general idea of what we want to do.
But
I'm saying, don't hold up on current projects like the concrete wash and putting the road base down, which the board has already said they want to do. That will just knock two items off the list, and we'll just leave us the others.
And the culvert for Father, that's got to be done pretty soon.
Okay. And now I know Carl got a price on resurfacing the asphalt road from the water company to the campground with Birch Construction.
Yeah.
And it was about $33,000.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So we could look at $70,000 for Pasture, Sunview, Horseshoe, and Sand Canyon. Just put that down as a budget figure. It's a blue sky money figure for us, but one day we might have it.
Okay, can I say something? I thought I was responsible for the dirt road. Last time I had a bid to regrade the dirt road, I had a bid of $15,000. We don't need to buy any major DG because all the DG is on the side and it can be put back on the top and properly compacted and graded. On the last road report, I mentioned there are certain areas where we could use crushed rock to get over the muddy areas, which works pretty good right now for on Appaloosa, and we can put that on some of the roads I mentioned. I don't know where the report is. I guess Phil wasn't at that meeting.
You didn't come to the last meeting, so you didn't make a report.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I made the road report, it was the first meeting, or the second, or whatever. But anyhow, you had a copy of the road report, and I can look it up again, and tell you what I said, if you have the time to go.
Well, I think we'll be getting to that anyway down in the actual agenda because we have discussions on what to do on the roads. Okay. Does anybody else have anything to report? Okay. As president, I've got a report to make, and that's that one of the issues that I see we have is that we need to remember that all of our members are members. They all need to be treated with respect despite any prior actions they may have taken. And there's a few members in particular that I can think of that this applies to, but we have to get past that. We need to look forward, not at what happened in the past. We don't choose our members. Anybody that buys a lot becomes a member, and they all deserve to be treated with respect. That's our job. Even if they've sued us in the past, even if they've yelled and screamed and jumped up and down, it doesn't matter. They're still members. We still have to treat them with respect, and we still have to look at what we can do for the future and not worry about what they did in the past or what the board did in the past as far as that goes. I mean, it's all behind us. So now we need to go forward. But I want to make sure that everybody's aware of that, because the people that we've had, our members that we have had issues with in the past are going to be invited to future board meetings. They need to know what's going on and that we're here to do what's best for them. Mm-hmm. So that's my report for today. So unless anybody else has anything to report, we'll move on to discussion and possible action to approve payments and expenditures. What did we have in the way of payments for last month? Do you recall offhand?
I can tell you.
I can get it here and find it. I got it in here somewhere in this stack.
Oh, I got the checkbook.
Right here.
Morning.
Good morning. May we come in?
You betcha.
Welcome.
Coffee's in the kitchen. There's hot water for tea out there as well. There's muffins. Help yourself.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, how are you?
Let's see. Which one's it? Here's the check register. Okay. So for last month, what we've had is a refund of overpaid assessments to Golan for $157.28. We had a check to Klein Agency for our insurance for $4,275 and a payment on our credit card of $38.92.
Exactly.
And that was the expenses for last month. Would anybody like to make a motion to approve?
I make a motion we approve the payments.
Second.
Any opposed? Okay. Along with that, since we're on financial issues, I will pass these out to everybody. This is the financial reports that we are supposed to review at every meeting.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I've got a few extra copies that can be passed around.
Thank you.
But these are the financial reports. We have an aging summary by lot that shows all the past due assessments. So the ones that are the past due assessments for this year comes up to $4,170. And then we've got another $15,000 in ancient ones. But that did change a little bit. I guess we just got lots 58 and 9 that just settled. And a lot of these, not 28, and a lot of these really old ones we're going to be taking off the books, because anything over 5 years is uncollectible anyway, so that will bring that number down. I just haven't gone in there and done that yet, because we do need to take those off the books as uncollectible. Then there's a reconciliation detail, which is the most recent bank reconciliations. The reserve account hasn't been reconciled in a while because it hasn't changed. But the checking account reconciliation is there from January, because we don't get the statement for February until it's too late to do anything before the meeting. So that's January's reconciliation for everybody's review. Then there's a check register that shows the expenses for the last month. That's everything that went in and out of the checking account. Then a profit and loss budget versus actual. So that's where our budget is, versus what we've actually done. So like right now, typically we have nothing in the way of income this month because it's not when assessments are due, so we're way over budget on income. But a lot of this stuff, honestly, is virtually meaningless. But it's the way accounting has to be done. Like our expenses for the month were $4,902. Budgeted amount is $6,656. So we're actually under budget. But that changes month to month. Then there's a regular profit and loss on the next page, which is another required thing for the board to go over. So our net income for the month was minus $4,275 because we paid insurance and we have no income other than in November, or very little. Then there's a general ledger. So that's everything as of February for this year that has gone in and out of the accounts. That's each transaction listed out. And with that, you can
have to do this
every month. We have to do these reports. And this basically, this is what everybody's going to do with them.
Yeah, they're right.
Uh-huh. But that's the state law now.
We can start firing
some of the ink and paper and crap and what we need.
Right.
Okay.
But that's because somebody in Sacramento writes this for some big HOA that they're mad at, and they don't worry about all the little ones that are affected by it. Okay. So we have done our duty and gone over it.
Okay, we've done that.
You're not on the board or anything. Is it okay to be here?
Everybody is welcome.
More than welcome.
Yes.
The board is here for the members.
Sure.
Okay, so that gets us to number 7. Announce actions taken in executive session at special meeting of 2/2/19. And actually, we did announce them after the executive session at that meeting. However, nobody was here, so we'll announce them again. The board did vote to begin foreclosure on 10 properties with delinquent assessments. We haven't gone any further yet because that's a long, drawn-out process, but we will be starting on foreclosure on some of those properties that haven't paid in a long time. Okay, and that brings us to item 8, and this is discussion and possible action on legal fees presented by Director Schlitz, and I'll let Mr. Schlitz tell us about that.
No, I didn't write that. You must have copied it the wrong way, because I didn't write that.
That's what you gave me, but that's okay. If you don't want to say anything about it, you don't have to say anything about it.
All I want to say, like Bill said, he wants to have how much I'm going to intend to spend on all of them. I have no intention of suing the HOA.
That's not what this says. You had said that you had a bill for legal fees that you wanted to present to the board.
That one, you didn't forget about that. I told them they can go to hell, and that's what they intend to do.
Okay, so there's no action on that.
No.
Okay. So that brings us to number 9.
Hold on. Would you repeat what you approved of when dealing with lawyers, what the process is? Because we can't just have anybody calling up.
We don't.
And do it.
No, that's not a problem.
I know you made a policy. Maybe we need to repeat it.
No, I think everybody's aware. I'm the only point of contact for our attorney. Number 9, discussion and possible action to provide evidence to counsel for Mountain Valley Association for the possible prosecution of the alleged criminal and civil actions of the Board of Directors in power from August 29, 2016 until the seating of the 2018 Board of Directors. And again, I'll give this to Director Schlitz to discuss.
It's up to the association after I file a complaint to take action. If they don't take any action, I have other possibilities to satisfy my demand. However, I don't have all the information on the evidence to get there because I was only able to copy part of all the documents the HOA has and needs to copy. So it may be something at the next meeting.
Okay,
Before that, I will submit a demand letter for action by the Board of Directors.
So you have no motion for this item?
No.
Okay.
Okay, again, I have no intent to sue anybody.
When we do discuss possible action, that should include a report on what this is going to cost financially. We cannot approve actions without knowing how much it's going to cost us.
Yeah.
When Caresco sued us, we spent well in excess, I believe, of $50,000. So is this going to be another $50,000 lawsuit?
Oh,
and if we are not going to spend money, how is that going to work?
Okay. Well, anyhow, the board has...
If there's no motion, there's no discussion.
Yeah.
So we can move on.
But at the next meeting...
If there's no motion, there's no discussion.
Good. Let's continue.
Okay, that gets us to 10. Discussion and possible action directing road crew volunteers to install drain line on Sunview and authorize expenditures for same. And this is, I put this on the agenda. Sunview currently drains down Audrey's driveway, and we do need to do something to try and divert that so it gets across the driveway instead of running down the driveway.
Stable.
Stable. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep putting Sunview. Yeah, you're correct.
You wrote down Stable.
Yeah, I still have my old copy where I had Sunview. I keep doing that.
I'm looking at Stable.
Yeah, no, it's Stable. Okay. No, I have a different agenda because I have my notes. So I remember what all to talk about. But anyway, so this is for the board to go ahead and direct the road crew to get some volunteers and put a drain line in and to authorize expenditures for doing that. I would move that we authorize up to $200 in materials for that. I don't think we'll even need that much, but if we authorize $200, that'll cover whatever we need, and then let the road crew get some volunteers and put something in there to direct the water.
Is that where you had a drain or something that you were going to volunteer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got some material that we can use.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be a backhoe available?
I can make the backhoe available.
Okay.
How much is that going to cost?
I'll do it.
It's my understanding that Randy is going to provide drainage pipe and backhoe services for the road. What I'm most concerned about, Carl, and what I'm hoping you can help us with, how do we do the entry to the drain pipe so it doesn't just fill up next first rainy season? We got 10 tons of mud again and we got no drainage. We need to have a good culvert, and we need somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Right. We can use the half a dozen bag of concrete and make sort of a guide to get to the...
You would help us with that?
Huh?
You will help us with the culvert?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a dirt road. It's my responsibility, supposedly.
Yes.
It isn't one man's responsibility, it's everybody's responsibility.
It's
leading the charge in that direction.
That's it.
So.
I'm supposed to lead the charge and make all of
it.
So.
Okay.
So that would be
I'll volunteer my tractor and Marcus to help Randy. We can push a little bit of dirt around. I'm sure Liam will help us.
I mean, I'll make a drawing of it, but I have my intention.
That ought to work.
Do you think that you can quarter inch cloth over the end?
Free Guinness.
I wouldn't.
No. Four out for the job.
Now, what might help more than anything would be to put a downward culvert first and then come off of that. That way, if it does start to plug up, you get head pressure on that culvert and it'll push the stuff out.
That's
to keep sand and stuff moving, that's one of the better ways, because as it builds up then you've got pressure pushing it down.
Do you have an elbow?
don't need an elbow. You just take a bigger pipe and cut a hole in the side of it and stick them together and concrete it up.
Okay.
Just grout it with concrete.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, anybody want to second the motion? We'll put $200 out there for it.
I'll second.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay, so that one is taken care of. So now, as soon as the weather is cooperative and the ground dries out a little bit, then we can work on that. Right now, if you tried to do it, the ground's so saturated it would just turn into a muddy mess.
Yeah.
We'll also need to call in a USA on it to make sure there's no underground utilities in that area, which I don't think there is.
There might be water pipes.
We'll see. Okay, 11. Discussion and possible action on grading, paving, water crossing proposals. And I have copies of the proposals that we have received from Oscar's Concrete, Eaton, and Bowman Asphalt.
Thank you.
And they add up to a ton of money. I'm running short.
Wow.
That's all there is.
Whoa.
We're all sitting down, so.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I ran short here. I didn't make enough of them. Okay. Thank you. And then to follow up on that, did I put that in here with this? Or is that something? Where did I put those?
A whole lot less than that.
Because the other issue we've got is how are we going to pay for all this stuff?
Yeah.
That's why we're going over after all those people that don't pay.
I think I left it sitting in my printer. Oh, well. I did a spreadsheet to show what we had available.
Which is next to nothing.
And I left it sitting in my printer.
Next to nothing.
That's too bad.
Bring it next time.
Yep. But basically, we only had budgeted for this year $28,000 total for maintenance. That's it.
That's the entire
total. And next year's maintenance projected is $90,000, which will put us $50,000 in the hole. So we don't have $90,000 for next year's maintenance. We only have about $30,000 for next year's maintenance. So,
we do know it has to be done. They just don't have the money for it.
Exactly. You know, which is why our assessments need to go up drastically, or we have to come up with a better plan, or we have to decide that we're just not going to do some things.
Well, I'd like to make a suggestion.
Sure.
Well, we do it ourselves. You've got the tractor, and we can remove the asphalt, form it in, and pour concrete with the asphalt.
Well, that's...
Basically, we don't need a wall. The one I've assigned, you know, it's just on 3 feet, because all this dirt and debris just backs up against the asphalt right now, and that and it's been that way ever since I moved here. Before that, they had a culvert in there, and the culvert always got plugged up. So we removed it, and it's up at somebody else's yard now. So putting a culvert in, I mean, it's useless.
Carl, is it feasible to, like, maybe do half of the project now, and then maybe finish it off the next year? Can you do it in parts or no?
Probably could, yeah. Well, what I suggest we'll do the paved concrete where the pavement is right now and see how that works. And if we need to put a wall down on the side, we'll do that some other time. So.
Okay, essentially that's the same thing I just asked.
Well, honestly, the quote from Oscar's Concrete isn't bad. I mean, he's only $4,600. Of course, that's only 6-inch concrete.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
As to whether or not that'll hold up for that kind of traffic, it's hard to say.
I'd like
but
to. We're going to put in rebar and all that stuff, so it should hold up pretty good.
Yeah, again, we have to prioritize what needs to be repaired first, After this winter, we're going to need to grade dirt roads. I mean, that's a given. We have to grade dirt roads. So that has to be our priority first. I mean, this needs to be done. I'm not saying it doesn't. But again, after this wet winter, we have to grade roads. Once we're done grading roads, whatever money we have left over, we might be able to see what else we can do with it. But we have to prioritize.
Yeah, like I said, the last time I had a bid on it was $15,000 by each. That was way before, about 3-4 years ago.
That isn't something that we can do.
Back to DG.
Hey, Carl, one person at a time, please.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Pat's talking. Let her finish, and then I'll let you talk.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. If we get everybody talking at the same time, nobody can hear anything.
Yeah. Grading the roads is not something that we can do. I thought way back that we used to do that. I mean, as a... it's not farming it out.
John Scrogum, I believe, is the one that used to do a lot of that with his tractor.
Oh, okay.
So did Jim.
Okay, Carl, go ahead.
Like I said, I estimated $15,000 by Jim Eaton there 4 years ago. However, the price probably goes up. So, like I said, you don't need to import any DG. The only thing I'm going to import is that crushed rock and stable and unhalter after the grading. And that shouldn't cost that much. And that crushed rock holds up pretty good, like I've seen on Appaloosa when the previous board put that crushed rock there. So, and we need to start grading before the ground dries up. So late April or early May, that's when we usually grade it. So
I can tell you that rock, base, whatever you want to use, is about $700 per truckload, per 20 tons or 25 tons. That's about what it ends up, that's about what it costs.
And how many truckloads?
So it probably takes quite a bit.
Yeah.
You probably need only about two truckloads.
Two truckloads wouldn't even do this front parking lot.
Yeah, I'm just talking.
Wouldn't even come close.
Right. Well, okay. How about four
trucks? Yeah, it takes quite a bit. It goes fast. But anyway, if you want to look at Bowman's bid for grading, theirs is high, but theirs is to do a lot of grading. It's like the back of the second page. Their estimate for grading all the dirt roads is $90,000.
Yeah.
Yep. But that included 1,750 tons of base material because they were looking at Halter and Hackamore and all those up there and how much material, because that material is gone. It's washed down the mountain. There is no base material up there to put back on the road. It has to be brought in. They had $50,000 worth of base material in their bid.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. We never paid that much for road grading and hauling and DG.
That's what it costs nowadays.
I'm pretty sure they can keep it around $15,000 at the most.
We can do grading for less, right. But this was to properly grade and crown the roads, roll them, because if you just grade them, when the traffic goes over it, it pushes it right back off, and if it rains, it washes it off.
Yes.
So this was also to compact it. And then, again, it was to bring in 1,750 tons of base material, and the trucking costs are what costs on that. It's bringing it in here. It's expensive. But again, their bid for the grading and compacting was about $40,000, which isn't bad considering grading and compacting, because I don't think that's ever been done on these roads, is compacting them. So again, it's more than what we have budgeted, though. We don't have that kind of money. One of the things that I was looking at was what they bid in here for putting down asphalt. $2.10 a square foot is what it works out to.
Oh, gosh.
Well, that's not bad, considering we're spending almost that much. Well, actually, I didn't figure it out, but what their bid to do grading, what does that total out to per square foot? Because what I'm thinking is we may be better off doing minimal grading, and I mean minimal, and start putting our money into adding pavement. Because it looks like it's cheaper than constantly grading the roads. I mean, it's expensive, but in the long run, let's see, that was 20,000 linear foot. That was 372.4. So they had 488,928 square feet. Well, it's definitely cheaper per square foot grading. But again, grading has to be done every couple of years or you don't get anywhere.
One time a year. That's what you're doing.
But we budgeted for every other year because that's all we can afford. So it's about 18 and a half cents a square foot. We just rounded up to 19 cents a square foot for grading. So 19 cents a square foot, 210 to pave. So in 10 years, you paid for paving. If you graded every year for 10 years, that's you paid to pave it.
I have a question.
Sure.
How are you going to prevent from the asphalt breaking up on the side and going to the edge of the road? What's the first thing that happens? You have to have some way to retain it on the side. And usually in the city, it's the sidewalk or whatever they use. But if you pave the top and the side, then within months, the side pieces falling, breaking, and falling to the side of the road.
If it's done properly, which means that the sides, the shoulders are graded up to the pavement and they're compacted, it doesn't. But that.
No, I'm just judging by my experience.
Uh huh. Now, if you have to grade the shoulders back up to the pavement and you have to compact them,
you're going to have a groan on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And something has to stop to pave the asshole at some point.
Well, you can drive all along Sand Canyon, Tanganda, Umtali. That's how the sides of paved roads look.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's
all the way down to where the water drains. You need to do that, you know, because then you have minimal maintenance.
Again, we're just trying to talk about what possible things we can do, not exactly how it's going to get done. What's the possibilities and what can we afford with our budget? And our budget isn't much. I mean, we can't afford to even completely grade the roads.
If we just maintain the dirt roads the best we can this year, try and bank our money for next year so that we can do some major projects.
We still won't be able to do any major projects.
Yeah, but one of the major projects would be Morgan Lane.
We have about $30,000 a year to work with.
If we did Morgan Lane,
max,
they gave us a quote of $57,000 approximately.
Mm-hmm.
If we got a grant for $50,000 from the AQMD, and if Carl could get that grant for us, it would only cost us, you know, $7,000 to grade Morgan Lane. And I think we should really make an effort to try and do that next year, because we'll never get a better deal on anything that we do.
Next year will be much higher than that.
Everything's higher every year.
Well, it doesn't matter. We can't do it this period.
This is the same quote that Bowman gave us 10 years ago when we got the original grant. It hasn't changed hardly one penny.
But the biggest, you know, I think that if we keep trying to keep the roads graded and we've got to start putting base back on them and everything, the cost of doing that, it's money down the drain, because every rain, it's back to the same thing.
That's right.
It's the roads need paved. Then we have a bigger problem. We have to maintain pavement, but at least, you know, at least we don't have to grade every year.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to grade sections like Hackamore, where it just ripples out every time we go in there, Carl went down and dropped 4 trailer loads of road base. We had graders working on it. I drove up there 3 months later. kind of, what did we do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we did. It's all back to what it was before.
Yeah, unless you put down asphalt or concrete, it's not going to stay. And we talked about, you know, putting some binders in the dirt to hold it, to help it. But with our slopes up here, it's not going to stay.
And
the slopes are too steep.
A hard driving car erases that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I definitely have to look into it in more detail and trying to come up with a good figure and the lasting asphalt load. So I'll look into it.
Rita, what?
I think you're going to have to ask the memberships if they want the roads paved.
Well, that's,
because a lot of people do not want, they want dirt roads.
Yeah. Well, that's something we have to put out here anyway. We have to put out to the members that this is what the assessments need to be, or you have to tell us not to maintain stuff.
Well, some of them don't want to have paved roads.
No, and I realize that, but the downside to not having paved roads is eventually, yeah, number one is maintenance. Number two is eventually somebody complains and AQMD starts fining you for the dust that leaves your property.
Is even dust on her road.
And the roads are the association property, so that means the association can be subject to a $10,000 per day fine.
Yeah.
For having fugitive dust.
Well, I'm just throwing that in.
No, I know. I understand.
Some people have talked to me, and they want dirt roads. They want to be in the country.
Right.
Maybe we ought to get a water truck. But then we need the water for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking about $10,000 a fine a day, and then we would have to get one or rent one.
That's why the wind parks paved Tanganda Road. They were threatened with the fines from AQMD for fugitive dust, and they started out running two water trucks 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
To keep the dust down.
Yeah.
They figured out it was cheaper to pave.
I just wanted to throw that.
Even though that cost millions, it was cheaper than what the water trucks were going to cost them to run every day.
Because I said I would.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever get the approval of the absentee homeowner to increase the assistance to pave.
But with our slopes on a lot of these roads, pavement is the only thing that's going to work.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we have to pave every road, but I think ultimately that is going to end up being our goal, because that's the easiest way to maintain the roads, yeah, is to get them paved and then maintain the pavement.
Water would be the best one to pave for, because we got the most people living on that.
And that's the thing that we're going to have to go through and survey and see what kind of traffic we have on the roads and see what the grants require now to see if we can qualify for any grants. But even roads that we don't qualify for, I think it's going to be in our best interest to budget to start paving.
Okay, and I'll do it. Like I said before, there are low interest loans available from the state and the federal government to pay for it. So that's another thing to consider.
Yeah, there are funds available for certain things, and we can look at those. There's no question we can't.
I can bring on the next meeting.
Yeah, I don't think we're prepared to make a decision on any of this today.
No.
I put it on the agenda because that's the only way we can discuss it. But you know, it's just obvious that we don't have the funds to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the simple mathematics of it. We don't have the money to do what we need to do and what we want to do. At the rate that we're raising the assessments, if we stay at the 20% a year, 10 years from now, we'll be doing pretty good. We still won't have all the money that we want, but we'll be doing pretty good by then if we don't spend a bunch of it on stuff that goes down the drain.
Mm.
We need to grade the roads, though. I think we're going to have to do something this year with that. I think what we're going to need to do is investigate some quotes from Eaton and, you know, to go along with Bowman's on just some basic grading, just to clean the roads up as best we can with what we've got out here. Just scrape them and make them drivable.
We also need to fill potholes on Sand Canyon.
And it might be worthwhile when we do that to put a binder on them to keep the dust down. That will help the roads last a little longer before they have to be graded again. Do these interim steps while we work on paving roads and get the kind of a permanent solution to these roads. And again, we need to start with the roads that are the worst as far as travel. I mean, Appaloosa's got a real soft spot, so paving that one would be a priority to get rid of that bad place. Halter, because it's such a steep slope and it's all rock and there's nothing else you can do with that,
That would be another priority to get pavement on.
Well, Morgan is the most important one.
Yeah, so there's these roads, you know, like that, that we can start working on and just start budgeting a little bit each year. I figured out, just as an example, Paint Way, because that one's right there, it's easy to see. And both ends of it, if you looked at there's two cul-de-sacs, one on each end, obviously, and 570 feet of road. At the price Bowman quoted us for paving, to pave that would be $26,796. To pave the two cul-de-sacs and the length of the both sides of paint. That's what it would cost. So as an example, that actually fits in one of our annual budgets. Wow. See, if we break it down into small chunks, we can fit it in the budget. We can't pave all the roads because we don't have that kind of money. But if we do a little at a time, and paint could even be broken into the two halves. And that's just one street. I'm just as an example, because you've got plenty of other little streets like that that we need to look at. We just need to go through how many feet all the roads are and start prioritizing which roads to look at first and budget for them.
I think most of those have cul-de-sacs, too. There's Agate, Mary.
Oh, all the dead ends, uh-huh.
And
Spur.
Spur. Mm-hmm. I didn't even include Spur miles.
Yeah. That's another one. It's all our roads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the cul-de-sacs take up a little bit more asphalt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I mentioned for the second time now at the road report, I gave you the paper, right across the street from me, that it rains, his water answer is property, and that needs to be degraded. Some of the dirt needs to be piled up so the water doesn't. It needs a drain to the gully, which is on the north side of this property, or to the south side of this property. So when you come out there with a tractor to dig, put a pipe on her property, maybe then...
Mm-hmm. We can do some... That's the kind of things that we can do. The little things that don't cost us any money, we just need to schedule a time and get some people out there with shovels, and we can take care of some of these things.
Well, there's several like cul-de-sacs that need to have culverts, and mm-hmm. Maricourt is really bad,
mm-hmm.
and mine is too, but I'm not worried about mine so much. But is it Agate that comes up on pasture?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Agate has almost, it cuts off some every time it rains. They put boulders and all kinds of stuff in there, but still it needs to be.
Yeah, and a lot of these we're not going to be able to fix right away.
Just curious, if we start paving roads, aren't we going to have to do a survey to determine?
Not necessarily. We already know where we're using for the road. As long as it doesn't look like it's outside of our boundaries, because most of these roads are 60-foot easements, and we've only got a 20-foot wide road. So we're pretty much in. So, yeah, I mean, we need to survey everything, but at the same time, we can do without it for the time being. And if we run into a problem, then we deal with it.
Yeah. I mentioned, I think, Country Canyon. We need, before we get this one, we need to know where the hookups are for the water line, and also we don't.
Whenever we're going to dig, you call in for a USA, and then the utility has to go out and mark everything.
Okay.
That's how it's done.
What do we have to do on that road?
That's how it's done.
Okay, I thought Country Canyon wasn't ours.
Country Canyon is our responsibility for maintenance. We do not own Country Canyon. Country Canyon is a dedicated county road.
Well, good. Tell them to come fix it.
We don't own it. It's not part of our lot. Just like Sand Canyon's not part of our lot.
But we do.
We're responsible for the maintenance of it until the county accepts it. But it's a county. It's a dedicated county easement. Country Canyon and Sand Canyon.
I would hope that at the end of the April meeting, we could release some work and preferably get the concrete work done on Sand Canyon for $5,000. At the same time, at the April meeting, I need to know what it's going to cost us to do a temporary grading that will maintain the roads until the following year,
mm-hmm.
so that we can have more money to put into the asphalt. And then in the second year, once again, if we wipe out Morgan Lane, Bowman might give us a little bit better price to go so many yards of halter, you know.
Here's the spreadsheet. I did have it. This was the one from our original...
So we have this
maintenance.
Already.
Yeah, this is the one from our original maintenance. The back side of it is one where I made some real rough calculations just to show what we can do. So if you look at the back side, this is still assuming the 20% rate increase per year, and it's putting... if we kept this year's expenses down to $12,000, that would, and then $40,000 for next year, $15,000 the following, $40,000 after that. That shows, if you look at the second column where it says starting reserve balance, that shows how much money would still remain in the bank account after all that. Or if you look at the front of this, at the starting reserve balance, you see the negative number starting in 2021, 55,000, 64,000, you know, so we can't afford to do those things. That's obvious. We don't have that much money.
Just need to afford to.
Right. That was our original maintenance plan. That was putting $90,000 into pavement next year and $28,000 into dirt roads this year. Well, the following year we're $55,000 in the hole. So that obviously isn't going to work.
I've read somebody that wants to donate a lot of money.
But again, we need to prioritize. What do we need to do this year as a bare minimum? So that we can spend some money next year to do a little bit more. One of the Bowman quotes also was to do repairs to the paved road to Sand Canyon. And they gave us a couple of different options on that one. They gave us a cold mix cap, which was to put the low to put cold mix down over the entire paved road and roll it.
Thank you.
That was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put cold mix and then roll it. That was $91,000. That's for a complete cap over the entire road from the end of the county road to the far end.
Start.
To the campground.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that so that was 600 tons of cold mix.
Yeah, does it cover the potholes and all that, and
mm-hmm.
the cracks and
mm-hmm.
everything?
Everything. That's to spread it over the entire road. I don't know how thick 600 tons would be. I would imagine it's probably half an inch to an inch is all it's going to add up to. But it would definitely smooth things out, and it would fill the cracks and holes so that the water doesn't keep getting under the road to destroy the road. The other one was a modified seal coat, again, which is basically oiling it and putting sand on it. Which doesn't, it helps, but it doesn't last.
Yeah, I didn't believe it last time.
Right, and that's $45,000. So it's twice as much to put the cold mix down, but the cold mix will do a lot more.
Yeah, I was going to say that other will, you know, what do I want to say, will go way faster. Than
yeah, it fills in the cracks and helps, yeah, but it doesn't keep them full.
No.
The second option here,
mm-hmm.
we've already done that once on Sand Canyon. Cone
mm-hmm.
Asphalt did the job. I don't think anybody was impressed. It
no.
didn't look like we did anything, and you kind of look stupid for spending $10,000.
Well, and I think especially on the road where it's the asphalt shingles, that oil is just going to absorb into it and it really isn't going to do anything.
Anyway, I don't think that option, second option, was really any good.
No.
Carl did have an option for $33,000 for the same coating with 10 pounds of sand from the mailboxes to the campground. So it looked like Birch would have a better quote on that than what the second option is here.
And I think the cold mix is a viable option, putting cold
yeah.
mix over the top, because that will fill in the cracks because they're going to compact it. It'll fill the cracks and the holes.
That other one's worthwhile.
Now the thing about what I'm thinking about is maybe we split this into thirds. And that way, every couple of years, we can do a third. Start down here where it's the worst, get this third done, Then 2 years from now, we go to the next one and do the next third, and then the final one.
The final one, we'll have to do the whole thing because it'll be rotted away by then.
It'll hold up a little bit better than that, but yeah, eventually you got to start over. Yeah.
If we did it in thirds and we did from here to Sunview, that would take care of 100% of our residents who drive that road every day. For the second trip, if we went from the campground to Spur, because that is in our association, that would take care of that. Then the only road that wouldn't be done would be from Sunview to Quail Mountain, and if they want to contribute to get it done quicker, that's fine. But
yeah, that's not
nobody's going to contribute.
I don't think we should be responsible for maintaining that road for other associations.
There isn't another association. That's why we have to maintain it. There isn't anybody else that's going to.
Well, I can show you legal paperwork that claims they're an association.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. There's nobody.
And there's nobody up there that's going to pay.
Yeah.
No. You only got four or five people in there.
Anyway, that would be one way of breaking up three ways, and it would be great. And if we did Holter next...
Well, one of the things that I'm thinking, if we do the middle section first, even though I'd rather do this section first and fix this, but if we do the middle section first, it's going to pave, it's going to put this cap over the area where we've got a problem with it washing out right now. Instead of putting concrete
that
down for the
road
time being.
Isn't as bad.
Instead of putting the concrete down for now, you put cold mix in there, which will hold the road together. It's just another way to look at it and save the money that we would spend on the concrete until the roads are done. Then we can go back and start doing concrete and other, once we get the roads paved, then we can start going back and fixing culverts and adding all these things in to make the roads even better, because this is going to be ongoing for the next 50 years.
Don't you put culverts in before you put paving up?
Not necessarily.
Oh.
Nope, we can go back and do it later, because you're going to have to repave stuff anyway, so what's the big deal? So you cut a section out, you put a culvert in, you put some blacktop over it. It's not the end of the world. Again, we have to fit things into our budget each year.
Yeah, right.
We can't start with the big number and then work our way down. We have to start down here and work our way up.
Yeah.
So some things, yes, we're going to have to redo because we're going to have to do them less expensively the first time before we can finish it. So
if we don't do the wash with concrete, we're going to be back where we were originally with everything buckling up.
Eventually, yes, it will.
And
that can't.
We don't know when that will happen.
That can't be pavement. It has to be cement.
A big storm could do that.
Sand Canyon's pavement. It's all it's ever been right here in this creek crossing. It's asphalt. It's all it's ever been.
No, it has a culvert underneath it.
That culvert's been plugged for years. And the culvert's...
Open it up.
That culvert's never been opened and that since I've been out here.
Oh.
And that culvert's only an 8-inch culvert. The culvert is for nuisance water. The little trickle that runs through there, and then the pavement is sloped just a little bit on the uphill side so that the water is meant to run over the road. Because they know the culvert was never designed to handle that water. You need two 60-inch culverts in there to handle the flow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So well, you have all the rocks on the downside, on the upside, of course, all the sand is going to go right against the pavement, so there is no need to put a bigger culvert there on that end, but you have to have something to protect on the outflow inside. Because that gets washed away.
Yeah, and we can pile rock in there. Just keep piling rock.
We did.
But, these are less expensive alternatives is all I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. What can we do to get the biggest bang for our buck? Because we've got a limited amount of buck.
Our Kern County should be clearing that off, not us.
Oh, yeah.
If we were to combine the asphalt project on Morgan with the asphalt project on Sand Canyon from the campground on down, we might even get a better price from Bowman.
Yeah, the more work they can do at one time.
To do more work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm looking, if we break this up into thirds, it's going to be a little bit more expensive because they've got to travel out here each time.
Yeah, but if they're doing Morgan Lane on the first one.
Right, so the more we can get done, and again, that's where we do need to look at the grants, and maybe it's something where hopefully we start tying this into some other paving
to where we can get more done at one time. But again, yeah, right now our budget is going to be about $30,000 a year, and that's it. I mean, it's going to go up a little bit each year if we keep raising the rates, but it's you're talking 30, then 32, then 34, 36, you know. It's not going to go up exponentially. It's going to go up a little each time. So it's a limited amount of money we're going to have to spend. So we've got to start looking at projects that are in the $30,000 price range if we want to try and do something every year.
When Social Security gives you a few dollars, we'll take it.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is, though, in the meantime, we still have to keep the roads passable. A lot of repairs and stuff we can do ourselves, but we will have to do some touch-up grading every year to the dirt roads.
Right.
You know, so we know we're going to have to budget $10,000-$15,000 for that, which takes half of our money away for pavement.
You don't want to know how many potholes I counted from Horseshoe to...
And we still got this cold patch out here. As soon as it gets hot, we need to start putting it in.
Need younger people.
I know. That's the thing. We've got to find some volunteers for this year to do some of this stuff. Because most of the people that will volunteer were getting too old to do any of it.
And to volunteer, yeah.
And it's the reliability of the volunteer. Don't get angry when something isn't your way and walk off and never
and
see you again.
Yeah. We may have to start looking at part-time employees.
Well, and there goes your money again.
Well, it costs, but at the same time, at least now you can get people to come out and do the stuff.
It's their road. Why don't they want to come out and help?
Well, because not everybody's going to come out and help, so why should I do it? That's the mentality. Mm-hmm. And there's some validity to it. Yeah. That's why if you're paying, well, everybody that's paying their assessments is paying now to fix the road.
Right.
So it's a viable alternative. I'm not saying that's what we need to do. These are things we need to look at. Maybe we do start paying, you know, $15 an hour to get some of the younger people to come out on weekends to supplement their income.
Do we have younger people up here?
There's a few.
Well, we don't even necessarily have to get them from here. They can come from anywhere.
Oh, okay. High school. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we have a few, but not very many.
It brings on a whole new equation because we're paying people. We've got workers' comp to pay and everything, taxes and all these other fun things.
Yeah, we're still.
But it's something to think about. Another option that I hadn't thought about before, but I used to use years ago when I was doing tow trucks, is workforce, labor-ready, these companies that provide laborers. And you have them send up a couple of laborers. They might come from Bakersfield, but they'll send them up for a day. They send them. They pay all the insurance and everything for them. They send them up here with hard hats and boots. And you just pay an hourly fee. It's about double because you're paying their chunk too. But
it's around $50 an hour.
Mm-hmm. It gets up there. But again, it takes all the work away from us from trying to administer employees.
Oh, we have to buy the materials.
But if we're trying to do a project and we need three or four laborers that can actually get out there and work, that's a way to do it.
But you got a couple of guys to supervise it properly.
See, we could have volunteers that can tell them what to do.
Yeah.
Because we can still do that. We're not that old. We can still tell them what to do.
Yeah.
We just need the people that can physically do the work. So that's another option we might look at for some of these projects when we get into this summer and start looking at stuff. You know, we got to think outside the box. It's great the way we used to do things, but that's not working right now. So we have to look at other ways to do it.
You know, for years it was Rita, Don Rooney, Marcus, and myself fixing every pothole. And as I've complained before, we got more fingers than we got thank yous.
In fact, that's a good right there. When it gets warm and we can start using this cold mix, we get a couple of laborers up here for a weekend to do potholes.
Yeah, I get a
strip. You could get a lot of potholes done over a weekend if you had a couple of able-bodied laborers, along with a handful of volunteers.
We've got one able-body, and we can do the potholes ourselves. I think it's warm. We don't need to spend $400 or $500 a day and laborers will probably just stand around without a voice working. I mean, down that road.
Well, if they stand around, they get fired. Well, that's the good thing about employees.
Yeah.
If volunteers stand around, you can't fire them. Employees, you can fire. I used to use crews, you know, that's...
It's like they were
able to
know.
You have to watch me all the time,
But anyhow, I need to mention, we must make a decision about Sand Canyon, what a great council over the road.
Yeah, we need
and
to start
we need to
something.
Make a decision by the next meeting about how much we're going to spend on road grading. Because if we wait any longer, then the road's going to be dry and we won't be able to grade. So yep. Put that on the agenda for next.
Oh, it'll be on the agenda.
But yeah, we have to figure out what we're going to do, but we need to prioritize and decide how we're going to spend our limited resources, because they are limited.
Well, the grading needs to be done on the road.
Well, some grading needs to be done. I mean, obviously we don't need to do 90,000. I think we're all in agreement on that. No. So we have to decide how much we are going to do. So we have to prioritize what's important.
We used to, I had Jimmy come out there and he used to grade the whole track for less than $1,000.
Well, he ain't going to get that done now.
Okay, maybe it's $1,200. Well, I mean, right now we need to have a big play because the whole roads have to be reshaped. And if you're not going to do the dirt roads, you're going to have a lot of complaints.
We're going to have a lot of complaints no matter what because we don't have the money to do everything.
Yeah, if they're going to complain, get out and help.
The majority of the roads are dirt roads and they need to be done first. I mean, with the minimal. And
so everybody...
These spots where we can use scratch rock, which worked so good, and Appaloosa right now, and I think that's going to be the solution in that form. So
everybody's job for the next month until our next meeting is going to be to think of what the priorities need to be, and then we can put numbers to it and we can start coming up with a plan on how we're going to do whatever it is we're going to do.
Okay, I'll get some bits on the grading on the dirt roads. I mean, this is bullshit.
Well, no, it's what they were asked to bid on. That's what they bid.
I mean, it's way too high. We never spent that. That's three times.
There's a lot of things we've never done.
Yeah,
but life changes. Well, times change.
Yeah. Things go up. Prices go up.
We're ready to go have a road, yeah.
And again, if we keep going, if we keep just scraping the roads, you know, we're not getting anywhere. So a lot of this is how are we going to finally deal with the problems and fix them permanently, not temporarily.
We
but anyway.
We haven't lost much DG in the last years. Whatever DG was on top of the road is laid on the side of the road. And we have to bring it up and reshape the road.
Most all the DG in Sand Canyon is in Mojave, or actually Cal City. But anyway, okay. So now that brings us to item 12, discussion and possible action on SB 323. We have our friend Senator Wykowski, who is pissed off at his homeowners association, and he's trying to fix it by destroying all the homeowners associations in the state.
Oh, no, not another one.
Yep, another one. Our lovely elected officials in Sacramento that don't think about anybody other than themselves.
Oh, my God.
We're running short on them. I didn't print that many.
Oh, yeah, I don't need one.
But anyway, this is something we all need to look at and decide if we want to take a position on this and write a letter. We probably should send a letter to our legislature expressing our opposition to this, explaining that this is meant for big HOAs, you know, multi-million-dollar complexes that can afford to do these things, and us little bitty HOAs can't afford this stuff.
Leave the peons alone.
A couple hundred, $400 or $500 a month.
Of course, they won't care because they don't consider us because we're just
peons
out here in the country.
Yeah, we're just.
But again, we need to let the legislature know we exist, and the only way to do that is to write them a letter.
I don't know what it says, but if we don't do what they say they want to do, who's going to know?
Anybody that wants to complain.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. That's what happens. But that's basically, you know... for one thing, the biggest thing that I have with it is one of the biggest changes in it, that, or the biggest changes to law they want to make, is you won't be able to disqualify people from being on the board that don't pay their assessments.
Oh, that's not.
So if you don't pay your assessments, you can still be on the board.
That's not right.
And what I see happening to small associations like this is eventually you get five board members that don't pay their assessments, and then they quit paying any assessments, and then there's no association left.
And the whole rest of us are going to quit too.
Exactly.
So,
and
but
they also want to let, like, a husband and wife serve on the board?
Right. So if you've got one property, you can have both people on there. Yeah, it's just... It's a solution looking for a problem.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
There, it's he's pissed off at his HOA because they wouldn't let somebody in there that wasn't paying their assessments in protest. And the solution is just to destroy HOAs.
Well, so. I make a motion. We write the letter.
Yeah. I haven't read any of this yet.
I'll second it.
Are we supposed to each individual, or is it?
No, I think we'll do it from the HOA.
Okay. Yeah.
Any opposed?
No.
Wait a minute.
Sure.
What did you just say?
Joan moved that we write a letter to the legislature expressing our opposition to SB 323, and I seconded it.
Okay, well, I need to read the whole thing first.
That's fine. You can do whatever you would like. So who's in favor?
I.
Okay. And Carl, are you opposed or are you abstaining?
Abstaining.
Okay.
I mean... You didn't have a chance to read it yet. How can you vote on
it? He just told us what it was.
What you want.
Okay, 13, discussion and possible action adopting a records retention policy.
Do we have one?
Nope, that's what this one is all about.
Oh, if you don't quit typing up papers.
Jesus Christ. Who's the author of this one?
Me.
Can I give a copy of that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, otherwise you've got papers and papers and papers. And yeah, I already...
And basically what this is a brief discussion of what records management is, why it is, what it does. Spells out who owns the records. I got a typo in there. Because as you can see with the typos, I'm doing this for the water district at the same time. Because we have a similar issue with records. And it spells out what we, you know, how we're going to handle our records. And then what we're going to get rid of and when we're going to get rid of it. Because you can't keep everything forever. That's ridiculous. But it also spells out what are permanent and what you do need to keep forever. Because a lot of times, if you don't realize it, you'll throw something away that we're not supposed to throw away. So if you'll see the last one, I've started a draft records retention schedule, which lists what kind of records we have. We'll have to go through our records and find out what all we do have. These are just some that came to mind. And how long each of these needs to be kept for before we destroy them. So this is something for everybody to review. See what you think. And then we can put it back on the agenda next time or what have you. But we need to spell it out and come up with an actual policy rather than just doing whatever we feel like at the time, because that's not defensible. When you have a policy, it's defensible. Yeah. Here's our written plan.
Let's put the next meeting's agenda and get this over with.
Yeah.
I need to drag on stuff.
So, anyway, everybody can review that.
Okay.
Well, I know I already got a bunch and bunches of paper that I'm getting rid of.
One of the things in here that I did add into this that everybody should take note of is I took right out of the civil code what association records are. Now, there's other records that we have to keep besides association records, but this also spelled out what association records are.
Well, we have to keep them at least for 6 years according to the federal rule.
That's not true.
Everything.
That is
not
absolutely everything. Incorrect.
Really?
Yep.
It must have changed.
Nope. Everything has different lengths of time that have to be kept depending on what they are. So.
Interesting to know.
And that's why you need a list of all these things. Oh, wait a minute. I think I printed off the wrong one. I certainly did.
Yes.
That's why it still has the water district in here.
Right.
I will send a copy to everybody. This is the wrong one.
He sent me the correct one.
This is the wrong. I printed the wrong one. Wow. Okay.
That's okay. You've got a lot in the fridge.
Yeah, I was
made
doing
a mistake.
Lot. Yep. Again.
Believe that.
You're forgiven.
I will get you the right. In fact, as soon as we're done with our meeting, I'll print them off.
Okay, so you want this back?
Yeah, we can just pile them all back up. That's the wrong one.
Okay,
bring
them back.
You need a secretary. We need more secretaries.
There you go.
We're going to get to that in a minute, too. Okay.
More secretaries? How many? Out of five of us, how many secretaries can you have?
Okay. So we'll print that off here in just a minute. All right, so the next thing, discussion and possible action regarding email accounts for directors, website ownership. I put this on here. Right now, we have three email accounts that directors, well, officers use. We have one that's president. I have, because I own the website, I own the email addresses, I pay for the space on the server. They're all available to the HOA whenever the HOA wants to take them over, but as it stands right now, I own them. But we have three email accounts that are president, secretary, treasurer at mymva.org. The president email goes to me, then secretary and treasurer are forwarded to the appropriate email addresses. They actually don't have access to the email account. They're forwarded to their personal emails. The same thing with the website. I own the website. I own the URL. I pay for it every year. I pay for the rental for the space that it sits on, and I maintain it. And that's fine for the time being. Whenever the association is ready to take that on, they're welcome to it.
And they have to pay for it, huh?
That if they want it permanently, yeah. In the meantime, I'm happy to, you know, it's part of my other account that I have for mine, so it doesn't make any, it's not that big of a deal. What am I paying? Because it's on my other email, or on my other server space, I don't have a separate fee for the server space for that, but the association would if they took it over. They'd have to pay for server space. The URL costs about $20 a year. There's two URLs. There's MyMVA and .org, and I think the other one is Mountain Valley Association, but I'm not sure. And they're about $20 a piece per year is what you pay to keep those.
Why do we have two?
Because those were available, so I got them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I didn't like a big long one, so I did mymva.org because that was available. It's a little easier to type for people. But anyway, my question is, do we want to set up any additional email accounts? Do we want like a help email account or a assessments account or anything like that, that, you know, for people to send a request to? Or do we want to just leave it with the ones we've got?
Yeah, I'm for just leave it the way it is.
Any part of the thing you put up there that time, can't we use that for complaints or questions or...
The website could be set up to handle complaints. Yeah. It could have a complaint form on it, but then somebody's got to administer it. And I don't have time for that.
I barely have time
to put the agendas up on it. But at least, I mean, that's the reason for the website. At least we have a place to put agendas.
Yeah.
We have a place to put minutes. We have a place to put other information. I mean, there's quite a bit of information on our website that probably nobody ever looks at. But it's there. So whenever anybody complains, well, did you look at the website? It's right there for you to read.
Right.
Yeah. And when people do call, it saves us from having to mail them a bunch of stuff. It's on the website. You can go right here and look.
Yeah,
and they can have it instantly.
Yeah, print out what you want.
They can look at it instantly instead of having to wait for us to mail them something. So it's a valuable tool, and that's why I did it. Yeah, Carl.
It's okay that I use my own personal email for all the bits I'm going to get and all that and the research I'm going to make.
I don't see any reason not to. There's
okay,
nothing.
Good.
Yeah, there's no reason why an individual can't use their own for their own. Yeah.
All right. That's all I have.
Mm-hmm. The main reason for having additional email accounts is that if directors wanted to do business and didn't want it to get into their personal email account. But one of the things that's different between us versus a government entity, as a government entity, if you do anything on your personal email account that's government related, your emails become part of that government entity.
Government, yeah.
Uh-huh, because that's part of the public records laws. That's the thing that they're talking about with Hillary, because she was using her own email server for personal and government business. All of those become government property. So you've got to be careful not to mix the two. But for private, because this is a 501c3, there is no such rule. They can be subpoenaed, but they're not a part of the regular records. So.
Okay, the secretary is set up to go to the other MVE address, because I don't get it in my personal email.
Right, it goes, that MVE one that's, what is it, the Gmail or whatever it is?
Outlook,
yeah. I can put it to anyone you want, actually.
No,
it doesn't matter.
Fine. That's fine.
I figure that's the one you use the most for that stuff.
I just can't figure out why yours goes to my junk.
Oh,
Randy is junk.
Yeah.
I don't get anything, but then mine doesn't work, so that's okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, if we're going to leave them the way it is, I just wanted to make sure that if there's any need in the future for other email accounts or anything, I've got unlimited email accounts I can set up. So.
Do you need a motion for that? Or
No. Okay. There's no action right now. It's just, okay, like I said, if there's any need in the future, just let me know and we can do that.
Okay.
And the good thing, if we set up an email account, if you're going to do a lot of stuff and you don't want the emails on your coming from your personal email, because that just invites more junk mail, we can set up a separate email account for it. Or if we get to the point where we have a lot of people trying to get a hold of us about certain things, you know, we can have a help email account or something like that that's easy for people to remember. But I think ours are pretty easy. That's why I did them the way I did, rather than putting names on them.
Yeah.
You know, president, secretary, treasurer, as officers change over the years, we don't have to redo the email account and tell everybody it's changed. It's the same every time, regardless of who the person is.
Yeah, that's
what you should do. Okay. Discussion, possible action to review legal needs of association. Just to make sure that we know who our counsel is, which is Linford. And we haven't had anybody coming in here yelling and screaming and jumping up and down lately. But if that were to happen, you know, we may want to start thinking about having council attend meetings. It costs money, lots of it, but it's pretty common. And that way the lawyer can tell you that's not part of the agenda, shut up. You can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. I don't think we're at that point yet. Keep it in the back of our minds, because if things start getting contentious with anybody, that is one of the ways that you help resolve it, is you start talking about what actually is within our scope to talk about.
Is Linford a specialist in HOAs, or is he just a general?
He primarily does HOAs in this area.
Okay.
I don't know what else he does, but he specializes in HOAs. I don't know how much he does litigation, and that's one of the reasons I put this in here, too. We need to see. I'm going to talk to him about it and ask him how much litigation experience he has with this stuff. If we get into anything, which hopefully we don't, where it involves litigation, because I think back to the Caresco issue, and I think a lot of that, I think Linford handled most of that, if I'm not mistaken.
Who?
Linford.
No, we didn't.
No, several other attorneys.
Okay. But
they send it to someone else.
Okay, because when you get into litigation, it's in your best interest to have a lawyer that specializes in litigation. Otherwise, you waste a ton of money and you get nowhere. So that's something we need to look at as a possibility down the road, who else we may want to bring in. And it doesn't mean that we have to fire Linford to do that. You have you have attorneys that do this and attorneys that do that. I mean, it's not uncommon for a company to have half a dozen different attorneys for different issues, because it is a specialty. You don't go to the podiatrist for brain surgery. You know, that's... Yeah, Bill?
I like the policy of not spending any money on lawyers.
We're going to try and keep it that way.
It seems to be working really good, and we've actually putting money in the aside to do projects.
Right.
Right.
So I'd like to continue in the same vein that we're continuing.
That's our goal.
How much retainer did you give him? $1,000?
Linford? Nothing. He doesn't charge unless he's working for us.
Oh, okay.
There's no retainer. So anyway, this is something for us to keep in mind again. What we may end up needing to do, and it's if we think about it ahead of time, if and when the time were to come, it makes us able to react a little faster rather than having to spend a month thinking about it first. So it's food for thought. All right, that brings us to 16. Discussion and possible action to retain management trust to serve as agent for association for day-to-day operations and or for the 2019 election. This goes back to what we've talked about in the past, and that's that operating this association is a major undertaking for a handful of volunteers to do. I know the treasurer is extremely busy trying to do treasurer stuff, especially with all the rules and requirements that are on it. The secretary is very busy trying to keep up with that, and so am I, because there are so many wonderful people like our friend something Kowski that wants to pass all these laws that affect how we operate. It's going to get to the point where we can't do it with volunteers. And I don't see a line of people outside the door volunteering to take over these jobs either. No. Eventually, we're going to have to pay somebody to do it. Yeah, Bill.
The Management Trust has done the best job of anybody conducting the elections. It takes away all the accusations and everything else. And we've had so many accusations about we don't count them right, we don't do this. And when they do it, it's done, it's legal,
right,
it's correct,
and we wash
our hands over it.
It's not as expensive as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, the elections cost us just under $2,000. That's what the elections have been costing us with them. And considering the amount of work involved in properly doing an election, that's not bad.
Yeah, they do the mail.
We could not properly do an election.
No.
There's no way.
Uh-huh.
We would not be able to keep up with it and meet all the deadlines.
Yeah.
It's just too much work. So, at least with the current volunteer staff we have, we just don't have enough people. So we have to pay. But again, we need to keep considering what are we going to do when we don't have volunteers to do these things. How are we going to get them done? And eventually we're going to have to hire a management company to do them for us. And the more work it gets to be, the sooner that time is going to come.
Okay, strictly talking about the election now, right?
No, we're talking about management in general. We're going to get to the election as part of this. But if you've got something to say about the election, be my guest.
No, I'm not saying anything about the election, but what else are they going to be doing for us then?
The other things,
take care of everything.
They manage associations. That's what they do for a living.
The secretary's job, the treasurer's job, the president's job, and
all the paperwork.
Why do we have those positions if they're not obligated to do it?
Well, because by law, an association has to have a board, and it has to have a president, a treasurer, and a secretary. But the law does not say that they have to do all the work, because they're unpaid. The law does not require slaves.
So
that went out quite a few years ago.
Oh, I don't agree with this. We always be able to manage our own affairs.
Well, that's what we're talking about, Carl.
People have always done a lot of things. It doesn't mean times don't change. The rules.
How much they're going to charge?
I have no idea at this point. But we got a quote a couple years ago, and I'm sure it'll be significant because they charge by the hour.
So they're going to do the.
I'm not saying they're going to do. I'm saying we need to know what we are going to do when we don't have volunteers that'll step up to do these jobs. Then what do we do?
Yeah. We're not getting volunteers to do anything now.
Who else is going to be secretary when Joan decides she's done with it? Then what? Who's going to be secretary?
Or treasurer.
Everybody.
Who's going to be treasurer?
Yeah.
You see any volunteers? See, that's the problem.
The other board members. You always can assign more board members.
You cannot force a board member to do any of these things.
You're going
to
assign people?
You can't do that. That's against the law. It's called slavery. That went out some years back.
That's why volunteer work.
Volunteer work is just that. Volunteer.
We're
you can't
and we're not getting them.
So eventually, that's what happens because you don't have anybody volunteer.
Have to go to the bank anymore.
That's correct.
Yeah. Pick up the mail.
That's correct.
They can do everything.
That's how it works because eventually you get to the point where nobody will volunteer to do it.
Can I make a motion that we accept the the company that we have already?
Well, I don't think we're ready to actually have somebody do all these things.
Yeah.
But we do need to talk about it for the election, so we're going to get to that.
Okay, that's what I thought we were working on.
No, we're still talking about what we're going to do when we don't have volunteers to do all this stuff.
Okay.
Because we all know because we see the paperwork.
Yeah.
We know there's a ton of work that's involved.
Yeah.
Just like the financial reports that have to be prepared for every single meeting.
Yeah.
That took me a couple of hours after we spent several hours doing all the books. Then we've got a couple hours just printing everything off.
But I'm saying,
you're talking, you know, the treasurer's job now is probably close to 20 hours a month. That's a significant amount of effort.
Volunteer.
The secretary's job is probably at least that.
Yeah, well, we used to have a secretary doing all that work when we paid her $600 a month or something like that.
Oh, that's a long time.
When did we do that?
And again, the problem with doing something like that is we are taking on the responsibility of having an employee at that point. And that brings a whole other bunch. But it's not saying we can't do that. That may be how we end up doing it. But we need to start thinking about this. How are we going to replace...
Get different bids from different companies.
We tried that. Management Trust was about the only one that bid on it back then.
Yeah.
Well, they don't like to work with small...
Out here in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
We had another bid. We can't just...
Got no response from the other one.
So anyway, we still have our volunteers. I'm just saying, how are we going to replace them? But that does bring us to the election. We do have an election this year, and we also need to put the bylaws out for approval. So the question is, do we want to wait on the bylaws until the election? I think we need to do the bylaws now, personally.
I do too.
I think they need to get out there. We also need to get out an assessment increase so they can vote against it, because obviously we know that's what's going to happen. But we need to get the assessment increase out in front of the members and say, if you don't approve it, we have to defer maintenance.
A special assessment?
Mm-hmm.
Because can't we legally 20% each year?
Right, but we need more than that in order to do our maintenance.
Right.
So we have to tell the members, here's what the assessments need to be, and when you vote no on this, here's what we're going to defer. Here's what we're not going to do. That's a legal issue that we need to comply with, otherwise we're responsible for not having done the maintenance even though we don't have the money. Until we have the members tell us, no, we don't want to pay for it, don't do it. So that has to go out to the members. They're both just a simple written ballot. I have to look because I think state law changed on it. I believe that the assessments has to be secret ballot, just like the election for director, which is ridiculous, but which just complicates things because we have to do the double envelopes and all that garbage. But I think I don't think either one of them is going to be contested like a director's election may be. So we could do those in-house because they don't have to be perfect. They need to be as good as we can do them, but if there's a small flaw or something, it's not a crisis because it's not likely to be contested. And even if it is, okay, we go back to the old bylaws and we haven't changed the assessments anyway, and we redo it. Neither one is a fatal flaw, is the point. Where, you know, when you have a director's election, that's a more problematic. You can't just go back. So, I think we could probably do it in-house. Of course, that's more work for all of us, but it's possible we could do that in-house. I think we need to continue with the management trust for doing our director's election. And we also need to officially appoint them as inspector of election again if we're going to have them do that, because that has to be done by the board now, by state law. We have to appoint the inspector. So, we've got a little bit of time yet if we want on the elections, because we don't have to do the director's election for a couple more months. We don't have to start that process for a few more months. But if we're not going to do management trust, we need to come up with who we are going to use. Or if we're going to do it ourselves, I think we're going to be having to find volunteers or paying somebody, because I don't think any of us are going to do it. I know I'm not. I'm not willing to take on that work. That's way too much.
For directors'
election.
No, we've got to have the
Well, I don't think it's going to be an option for us because I don't see any of us volunteering to do it.
Right.
And we can't be forced.
Right.
We're not slaves, even though it seems like it.
I don't know about that.
Well, can we just make a motion that we go ahead?
We can do that now if we want. We can appoint them as our inspector of election, and we can hire them to do the director's election this year. And again, we can decide, do we want to have them do the one for the assessments and the one for the bylaws? It would help if we had them do it. It wouldn't be as much work for us, but it's going to cost. I mean, that'd be another couple $1,000s.
And the assessments and the bylaw vote be on the same ballot?
It could be all put together. I mean, the whole thing could be put together in November if we want to wait that long.
September,
I'm sorry. It could all be done at the same time.
Yeah, that's at the same time.
I think so too. So, but anyway, that's what we need to decide. If we're going to make any decisions today, that's what we need to decide. Which of the elections do we want them to do, or how we want to do all these elections?
I definitely want them to manage the directors.
Yeah. Oh, that's a given.
Well, if they do the general election, and we ask them to do it, ask them at the general election, would they tell the general membership what kind of services they offer and what kind of prices they offer for doing these services? Then the membership will know that when we have them do something, what we're paying for.
Yes.
Well, that's not up to them to send that out. That's up to us to send out.
Okay.
And we can do that with in one of our newsletters as far as that goes.
Okay, well, we
can
tell the members from
what these things cost.
Management on various items.
That's part of what we've been doing. We're trying to convey to the information to the members, here's what these things cost. Because everything we do has a cost.
As we can, everything.
Well, I'll make a motion that we retain Management Trust. Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, to maintain or to
I did too.
Retain Management Trust to do the election for directors for 2019 and to appoint them as Inspector of Election?
Yes.
Okay, so who made the first motion?
I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that one.
They don't care as long as somebody did.
Who wants to be the second?
I'll second.
It sounds like we're all in favor because it sounds like we all are.
Yeah, all of us made the motion.
I shouldn't make a motion. I didn't make an initial motion, but I'll defer to him.
We got it down here. That works. Okay. So we will have Management Trust do the director's election, and we're appointing them as Inspector of Election. Okay. We got something done. Some things we can all agree on.
I think we got a lot.
Can I go ahead and make a motion that we do the bylaws and the
17. Discussion and possible action to hold election for the purpose of adopting revised bylaws and approving an assessment increase or special assessment to meet the financial needs of the association. Okay.
It's already discussed.
And for everybody's information here, I did another copy of the bylaws.
Is this the same as the one I have at home?
It's very, very close. I only made a handful. I'll pass some of these. I won't need this one either, so we can pass some of these out. I'll point out, there's a couple of things that were changed. Joan noticed that there was already a second restated bylaws that say first as well. So this is technically the third. So I changed that on here. And under section 1.13 member, I tried to redefine membership because it's kind of ambiguous the way they put it in here prior. They had in here, member shall mean a person entitled to membership in the association is provided herein. And basically anybody that owned property is a member, including if you've got three people, well, you've got three members. Well, that's not correct because we only have one voting membership per lot.
Yeah.
And so I tried to spell that out better. member is an owner of a residential lot within the development, each lot shall entitle the owners to one membership.
Right. Yeah.
To try and spell that out a little bit better so there's no ambiguity. Other than that, these are the same as what they were before. You'll notice in blue, those changes were the changes I made before the last time we had this in front of us. Which dealt with committees and all that.
Okay, right. I also discovered we don't have to record bylaws.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a spare one?
Oh, that's
good.
Do you need
this? No, I've got it on the computer. That's fine.
Got something in our favor.
They're the original bylaws with changes that we've discussed over time.
Okay.
Changes I suggested and changes others have suggested.
You want to have the attorney look at it?
Well, that's only if we want to spend money to have the attorney look it over. Again, the way I look at things, when I write something up, if I'm comfortable with it, I don't bother with an attorney unless I think I'm going to get sued over it.
This is all stuff we discussed at different meetings.
This has all been discussed already.
Right. If we think we're going to get sued over it, then why would we do it?
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it. So we don't really...
We discussed all this.
It doesn't have... There's no requirement that it be reviewed by an attorney. Typically, you have it reviewed by an attorney if you're afraid of it. If you're afraid of it, well, then we should be rewriting it again.
It should, yeah.
Please, that's what it's for. That's why we've been sending them out. Members, they've been sent to the members. They've been sent to everybody.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think hardly anybody's looked at them.
Probably not.
But it would help if people do look at them and we get suggestions. But
how many percent of board do we need to put it in force?
I have to remember. I don't remember off the top of my head. I have to look. I think it's just a majority of the returned ballots to approve it once we have a quorum.
Yeah, I remember when this changed the bylaws, that was a mess.
It is. It's a pain. In fact, no, I think it is more than that. I think it's 50% of the total membership. It might be.
50. Well, I have to look at it.
So we'll have to look and see, but we'll find that out. I mean, I've looked it up I don't know how many times, but I just don't recall it off the top of my head. Because there's so many different requirements for how many people to approve everything.
Yeah.
I know that the articles and the declarations are almost impossible. Or the articles we can change. Declarations are almost impossible.
100%.
Because, we have to have 100% of all the lien holders.
Yeah.
That's the one that's impossible. Anybody that's got a mortgage, we have to have their lender's approval before we can change the declarations.
Didn't I bring you a...
There's an exception to that, but it doesn't fit us. Naturally. I forget what the exception was. There's an exception to it. But it would, I think it's while the declarant's still selling lots or something. There was something in there it has to be, shit, I forget what it was. But it takes the Superior Court to do it, number one.
Right, it has to go in front of
it. It has to go to the Superior Court.
Yeah.
And the reasoning behind it had to be something that it had to be changed for some reason.
Yeah, for...
It was something specific that had to be changed. Otherwise, doesn't qualify for that exception. So, and again, I mean, really there's not that much in the declarations. It'd be nice to clean them up, and it'd be nice to add some things in there for us to be responsible for because the community needs it, but it's not worth what it would take to try and change the declarations to do it. Basically, though, anything that affects the property rights of a lien holder has to be approved by the lien holder. So if it could conceivably devalue the property, you can't change it without their approval. Okay, so the question is, do we want to send the updated bylaws, do we want to hold an election to approve the updated bylaws? And do we want to put an assessment increase or special assessment in front of the members?
Choice.
We're going to have to do it sometime.
Mm-hmm. By law, we have to do it.
Yeah.
By law, we have to put a special assessment in front of the members because we know that our assessments are not enough to pay for the maintenance we need to do.
Right.
So
well,
by law,
that way, if they don't want it,
then that absolves us of responsibility for not doing the maintenance.
Right.
But until we do that, we are legally responsible for not having done the maintenance, even though we don't have any money.
We need to do it as soon as possible.
Ballot and get it out. Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Is that a motion?
Yes, that's a motion. Second. I made a motion and Rita seconded.
Yeah.
And I okayed it.
Okay. So what we're going to do then is we're going to put together a ballot, and we'll look up all the pertinent rules as far as to whether it's a secret ballot or what, so that we can do the ballot ourselves without having to hire management trust, because again, the likelihood of anybody contesting it is going to be slim to none because the assessments are not going to be approved. We already know that.
Yeah.
Right. And one advantage to putting the assessments and the bylaws together is we're likely to get more returned with the assessment on it because everybody's going to want to vote against it,
which
will get us the quorum and whatever we need for the bylaws to get those approved.
That's good.
So it works good to combine those two. And we can do it in-house, so the only thing we'll have is printing and postage to deal with. But we do need to come up with what we want to send out as our special assessment. So what I would say is we want to go ahead and move forward with doing the election and the assessment, and we will have a draft for the next meeting for the board to approve. So in the meantime, we can come up with the assessment amount, what the assessment will cover, what maintenance is going to need to be deferred for us to approve before we send them out. So at least that way we've got a month to get everything ready, and then we can approve the sending of it. So we can make any changes that need to be done in that time period.
They haven't been changed in a long time.
Okay, anybody opposed?
No.
Okay, so that is approved. Board members' request for future agenda items.
The minutes for the February 9th meeting, we didn't approve. It wasn't on the agenda.
Oh, wow.
And I just realized that. It was just a special meeting.
Well, that's what, yeah.
That's right, because we did go ahead and hold the one on the 9th.
Yeah, we had one on the 2nd and one on the
9th. Wow.
Right.
That was because we had an executive.
Oops.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will add that on there.
Hey, Mark is still here.
Well, actually, we can call that a typo if we want to go back to that and approve them.
Well, we did have a special meeting on February 2nd.
Right, but we can...
Oh, that's right,
it was the 9th. Well, the 2nd was a regular meeting, and the 9th was a special meeting.
And we approved the special meeting on the 9th, right?
For the 9th, yes, we did. Because we were going to go over all the liens and stuff.
Yeah, you have that on the 2nd.
So this one should have been the regular meeting of February 9th.
I haven't...
Because we did approve the special meeting on the 2nd.
On the 2nd. You had the special meeting on the 9th because you moved the regular meeting up to the 2nd.
That's right. We did. We moved it up.
No, because that would be the special meeting because it wasn't on its regularly scheduled day. So that was the 2nd was the special.
That's when everybody could come because I was there, but I wasn't there.
The 2nd was the special meeting. The regular meeting was the 9th.
Okay, on the 2nd, at the special meeting, we approved January 12th.
Okay.
Right. On 2/9, I thought on 2/2
we accepted.
I thought on 2/2 I thought we moved our regular meeting up so we could have a special meeting.
Well, we moved the agenda up, but it's technically a special meeting. That's why it was a special meeting. It wasn't on the regular day.
Because I wasn't told.
Okay.
Did we do the minutes?
Okay, and there's a goof in the 9th. Because we double approved the January 12th. That should have been the special meeting.
We didn't have one on the 12th. We had one on the 9th.
No, January 12th.
Oh, January.
We doubled up on January
12th. So we haven't done the 2nd yet, then, as far as we know.
Approving it.
So,
well, we approved it today, so we still need to approve
the 9th.
The 9th, but so, I will have to correct that because I have the...
Well, we probably did approve the 12th at the same time. We probably did it twice.
But we did do it twice.
Right,
yeah.
Which is fine. What we can do is to go back and revise number 4. That's we're approving the regular and the special meeting from the 2nd and the 9th. And we can have a new motion on that, and we can do it because it's just a typo. We failed to put it in there.
Right.
So the regular and special meeting from February 2nd and February 9th. So if Rita would like to revise her motion to include the regular meeting as well as the special meeting, and then Pat can second it, and we can vote on that.
Revised.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay, so that covers us for the regular meeting and the special meeting. So we've got them both in here now.
Okay.
Anything else anybody would like to add to our next agenda?
If
other than the stuff that we didn't do today. Okay. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Next meeting, April 13th.
It's 10:48. Yep, April 13th will be our next regular meeting, unless something crisis comes up in between.